We are in part six
of our series,
Life in Troubled Times. And I will tell you right now that I had no idea that when I put this series together in January before I left for the Dominican Republic, I had no idea how troubled the times we were going to be in as I preached this would be. But God is smarter than I am, and He knows what He's doing.
Excuse me.
So we are looking at the book of James, and the book of James, of course, is James, the pastor of the Jerusalem church, speaking to a church in turmoil. And they're having turmoil through their society due to political inequality and economic anxiety, and a lot of economic inequality. And boy, if that doesn't fit today, I don't know what does. So in the series so far, which are all available both here on Facebook and on our website, for an audio, is James has warned us against anger and instead says, hey, when you encounter various trials, various hard times, and he was referring to, again, economic and political issues, he says, consider it all joy, because these are a chance for your faith or your trust in God to be built up. And that's exactly what we are experiencing now. He emphasized that real faith, really trusting God, is not saying that you believe, not saying the right words, but how we treat and speak about others. Because really, the command is, love your neighbor as yourself. That's really the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so how we do that shows whether we really have trusted in Him. He warned, last week we saw, he warned about a heart that's centered on self and that will result in a tongue that tears other people down. And he warned against hot rhetoric and against setting the world on fire with our mouths. But instead, he said that we're supposed to serve one another and speak grace to each other. And we ended in James chapter 4, verse 10 was where we stopped, where in James chapter 4, verse 10, he said, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Humble yourself. Humble is hard. And that's what we're going to see this morning. Please join me again as we say a quick prayer. Oh, good morning, Father. Lord, as we experience worshiping together in a very, very different way, as we miss being in each other's presence right now, Lord, it maybe reminds us of how we long to be in your physical presence. We look forward to the day that we will see you face to face. Lord, we look forward to the day, hopefully much sooner, that we will see each other again face to face. But Lord, we thank you that your word, because of your wisdom, because you are God, and because you are not constrained by time or culture, that your word speaks to us right where we are. And Lord, and in your wisdom, 2,000 years ago, you had a man write a letter that would speak to where we are this week here in Maine, in the United States of America, in the world. So Lord, thank you for your power on display by showing how your word does not go out of date, that your word remains true and powerful in our lives. And as we study it now, Lord, may it speak to us, and may we listen, and may we hear, and may we respond, not merely agree with it, but take it in and allow it to change us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're picking up in chapter 4, verse 11, and we're going to go through chapter 5, verse 11, because as I've mentioned before, the chapter divisions are not in, James didn't put those in. Those were put in later by translators. They're very useful for helping us find things, but sometimes when we follow the chapter divisions too strictly, we miss the context, and in this case, that would be true. So read along with me as I read James chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasures. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. There's a lot there. And again, as I studied for this week, I was just blown away by how much this speaks to where we're at right now. So let's go through it and unpack it. First, there in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4, he said, first, don't set yourselves against each other. Don't speak against each other. Because as we face into troubled times, what does it do? It turns us against each other. All you have to do is walk in and put, you know, one package of toilet paper on the shelf. And what does it do? It turns us against each other. And then what do? You go on social media and you speak against each other. So he starts with, don't do that and don't judge each other. Whew. That's powerful. And then he goes on to explain, again, the heart of the matter, verses 13 of chapter 4 through verse 6 of chapter 5. And he takes on the two major issues that we have. First, he says, come now, you who say, and then again in chapter 5, verse 1, he says again, come now, you. So he's calling out two different groups of people. The first group, come now, you who say, hey, tomorrow we're going to do this. And so maybe you don't think you're in the second group as being rich, though if you live in America, we kind of are, but within America, we're not necessarily rich, most of us. But probably almost all of us fall into this first category. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go and do such and such. We all do that. I mean, I've already been working on Easter. We've already been working on this. And this is not against planning, as we'll see. But it's against the arrogance of assuming that you just know how life's going to be. And if anything over the last month and the last couple weeks has taught us is this is really, really true. He says, oh, tomorrow we'll go do this. You don't know that. Verse 14, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Boy, yes. That is so true. We can't even predict week to week right now. And he's warning us. This was true last year. We don't know. He says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills. Do you understand your life in terms of your plans or God's? Do you understand your life in terms of God or yourself? Verse 16, he says, anything else is boasting. It's arrogance. And we go, well, I'm not too terrifically arrogant. And I would say the same of me. But boy, I've regularly boast that way. I know what I'm going to do. God says, you know what you want to do. What you should say is, Lord willing. And I've really tried to live by that, but it's tough. And then he goes on and talks about, so that's being just self-secure in your time and your schedule and your own life. And then he goes on to talk about resource security, self-security and riches. He says, you rich, You should weep and mourn and howl. Why? Because he knows revolution is coming. Revolution is coming to the empire. And he knows that riches are no safety net. And so often we find our security in riches. And again, what are we worried about? We're worried about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to do. And again, these are not illegitimate concerns, but he says, but too often we secure ourselves in ourselves. We feel secure when we can make sure we have provided our resources for ourselves. And in this case, they were doing it by shortchanging others. Verse 4, behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields has been withheld by you. In other words, they were skimping or completely not paying their workers to pad their own pockets, to make sure they had enough. He goes, that's a problem. And then he makes a very interesting statement, which really struck home to me, because he says it twice. First in verse 3, it is in the last days you have stored up your treasure. And then in verse 5, he says, you have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. In other words, you have accumulated all this stuff at the worst possible moment because it's almost over. You've accumulated all this stuff in the last days when it's about to go away anyway, or you have fattened your hearts. Of course, the image being, fattening a piece of cattle on the day of slaughter. In other words, you have, at the worst possible time, chosen to enrich yourself. You're going to lose it all. And that's an interesting thing to think about there. Because again, we do not understand our days. But then, having talked about those who would boast about their own ability to control their lives and those who, try to self-secure themselves, his application is amazing. Verse 7, therefore, since you do not know what your life will be and since the days are almost over, and quit worrying about riches so much, therefore be patient until the coming of the Lord. Now, we know that anytime God wants to emphasize something, he repeats it. And did you see how often it was repeated? Verse 7, be patient until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it till it gets the rain. Verse 8, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts. The coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain. Verse 10, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, look at the prophets. Verse 11, we count those who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job. Patient, 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 endure. Strengthen your hearts and be patient. Don't complain against one another. Instead, be willing to suffer and be patient. It is blessed, he says in verse 11 there of chapter 5, blessed to endure. Blessed to just endure. Endure is one of those tough words. Blessed to endure. Just like Job, who had to endure tough things, who had to go through tough times. He goes, that's the trick. And then he says in verse 11, we have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. What happens? What happens when you put yourself in God's hands? Like Job did. And Job had a rough time. He lost everything. One day, his whole world was upended. What does it say here? The outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. We've come all the way back around to chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. So let's apply this. Let's dig this into our lives because it fits so well with where we are today. First, this is a biggie. Do not complain against one another. Dealing with inequality, dealing with political inequality, economic inequality, who's got the most rolls of toilet paper? Don't complain against each other. We can't start tearing each other apart. This is vital. And this is James talking to a world that is struggling with revolution, that's struggling with upheaval, that is struggling with the creaking of the pillars of society. He says, don't complain against each other. Don't judge each other. Realize who's in charge. God is. Let him take care of that. Do not complain against each other. Then the biggie. Beware of self-security and self-confidence. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about that, even just over the last few days. Here in Maine, we haven't been hit hard by the virus yet. We've not seen the hospitals overrun yet. We've not seen a climbing death toll. But it could come. It's coming other places. And my wife and I have had to sit and have some real serious talks about what life is like here. Because it is so easy to say, well, we will always be okay. And we will always be okay, but okay in God's hands is not okay always here on this broken planet. And that was why, if you saw yesterday, I just had to come into this room and just sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I won't go into the background of that hymn writer's story this morning, why he wrote that song, but it's very significant to me. Everything will be okay, but in God's hands, not mine. And we need to understand that we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what we may have to face, but God does. And we should be ready for whatever God's going to do. Like Job. And that is a frightening thing. And this is why this is no crutch. This is no, oh, a feel-good religion to make you feel better. Because this is hard stuff. And the Bible says real life stuff to our real life, including it can get tough. And everything being okay does not mean that our earthly lives will always be smooth and without sorrow, because there won't be. But in this time, in these troubled times, what is James warning us about? First, just amassing treasure. And my own selfish heart wants to amass treasure. I want to run out to the grocery store and make myself secure. I want to make sure I gather enough resources for me and my family, my people. And loving my neighbor as myself becomes much more difficult. And I need to be aware of assuming plans, that I know what's going to happen in the next 6 months, that I know by fall I'll do this or that. I don't know. And none of us do. And we never did. But we thought we could do that. And this crisis has taught us again what God has been telling us all along. You don't know. And so this is a marvelous opportunity to remind us that we don't know, but God does. And to think that we have control over this is an illusion and a lie born of our own arrogance and our desperate desire to control our own lives. Humble is hard. We need to be patient, 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 and endure. God is dealing. God is always dealing with us. As sinful people do sinful things, as the forces of this broken world happen, like hurricanes and viruses, that is part of our fallen world that we live in, God always is through all these things working. He's always doing what He needs to do to refine us and to create us more like Him and to bring us closer to Him. So we need to be patient. We don't have to like it. Jesus spent a night in the garden asking God for a different plan. And Jesus, being God Himself, knew better. But in His humanity, it was still hard. He tells us the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But these trying times give us an opportunity to transfer our confidence from ourselves to God and to put our trust in Him and not rely on our ability to secure ourselves, because we don't have that ability, even when we feel we do. And when we can put our trust in Him, then we'll be more apt to not tear each other apart. We'll be less apt to start seeing even our neighbor as a threat to our resources. Because we trust in the Lord.